Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, July 30th. It's a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page XXVI. That's page 26 of the doctor's opinion, the second paragraph. The physician who... And we'll be doing that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Liz T., the 12 Traditions, Reggie O., and the readers of the text are Robin P., Margaret D., and Roz G. And the share ID for Wednesday, July 29th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 15,069. That's 15069, and for this morning's meeting, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 15,076. That's 15076. And the newcomer greeter is Kara L., and our announcements coordinator will be Leslie M. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Liz T. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, this is Liz T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and thank you for your service. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Liz T. And I will now ask Reggie O. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Reggie.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service this morning. Good morning, everybody. My name is Reggie O. I'm gratefully recovered here in the Los Angeles area. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for the opportunity, and have a great day, everybody.
And thank you, Reggie O. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. And to share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. And that's not the mute button on your phone, but the star 1 buttons. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page XXVI in the doctor's opinion. That's 26 in the doctor's opinion. We'll be starting with the second paragraph down, the physician who, reading and studying that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Robin P. to get us started. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Mo. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive eater in Vero Beach, Florida. The physician who, at our request, gave us this letter has been kind enough to enlarge upon his views in another statement which follows. In this statement, he confirms that we who have suffered alcoholic torture must believe that the body of the alcoholic is quite as abnormal as his mind. It did not satisfy us to be told that we could not control our drinking just because we were maladjusted, that we were in full flight from reality, or were outright mental defective. These things were true to some extent, in fact, to a considerable extent with some of us. But we are sure that our bodies were sickened as well. In our belief, any picture of the alcoholic which leaves out this physical factor is incomplete. Amen to that. Well, so I am definitely a recovered compulsive overeater, and I completely agree with this. Allergy and addiction go hand in hand. And for me, my experience, strength, and hope is that. And when I eat alcoholic foods, or in my case, it turned out that I was gluten sensitive, and that the allergy and addiction went hand in hand. And what I craved, I was allergic to. I'm actually a vegan. I'm a conscious vegan. I feel very passionately about animals. And so my morality would not, I didn't care about my principles when I was in the food. Not that I was going beef or something, but I just was sloppy and I didn't care. And I feel like I'm so grateful for my food. I feel like I'm nourishing my food. I'm healing my body with my food, that my food is indeed medicine. I do my best not to eat poison, which is such an odd sentence, but, you know, with GMOs and everything, I really do my best to feed myself healthily and to put nourishing food and to study and to see what makes a difference for that physical component, what helps my body to stay well, and so that I literally can feel that I'm nourishing myself, and to avoid the foods that feel like poison and actually, you know, have poison in them. It's an odd sentence. I just do my best to really tune into God and His will for me with my food, because you are what you eat. You know, and I'm so grateful that I get to really pay attention to this physical allergy. And I know that when I ate sugar, wow, you know, the craving for more and some of the other toxins, it just would send out this eat more thing. And I remember when I found out that I was gluten sensitive, and this was a while ago, and a doctor told me, and I literally, at the time, there wasn't all the gluten opportunities that there are now, opportunities, but I literally cried in the doctor's office, like, please don't take away my bagel. And you can just see, like, this is when worshiping food and thinking that that's going to fill that God hole and putting my health at risk for hoping, you know, against hope, that definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result, hoping it's going to fill me up and not hurt me. And I'm so grateful to be abstinent and healthy today. And with that, I pass. Have a very blessed abstinent day.
Well, thank you, Robin P., for getting us started.
Can you tell me what page we're on, please?
I am just about to give it. We are on page XX. Let me look it up here. We are on page XXVI, 26.
Okay.
In the doctor's opinion, we're reading the second paragraph down, that one paragraph only. And I just want to remind everybody that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 2 to 3 days, please let others share. Take names. Who'd like to share?
Heather W.
Heather W.
Leslie M.
Barbara E.
Leslie M. Was somebody after Leslie?
Barbara E.
I got Barbara. You're number 4. Who was after Leslie?
Liz T.
Liz T. Okay. Got you, Liz.
Donna
Barbara
B.
E. Okay. Who was that?
Donna B.
Donna B.
Jody E.
Jody E. Okay. I got my group. Jody E. Donna B. Okay. Heather W., Leslie M., Liz T., Barbara E., Donna B., and Jody E. We'll get started with Heather M. Good morning, Heather.
Hey, everyone. Good morning. It's Heather W., recovered here in Baltimore. So grateful to be reading this paragraph. I mean, it just, it speaks so strongly for me because, you know, it tells my story when it says, you know, that the body of the alcoholic is quite as abnormal as his mind. And I was in OA for 6 years and I didn't understand this. I thought it was just my mind. Well, I'll work the steps and it'll all work out. Not if I'm still in the food. Not if I'm still triggering the allergy. It won't, because my body, you know, it's a physical illness as well as a mental illness. It's also in my body. And then, you know, again, it repeats itself at the bottom. But we are sure that our bodies were sickened as well. Our bodies were sickened. Again, there's a physical aspect to this. A physical allergy to this that we have to understand. And you know, the doctor's opinion is at the beginning of the book for a reason. The book starts with this for a reason. It's because we have to understand this. We have to be aware of this if we're to move on to the rest of the steps and be able to have that total psychic change. And then that last sentence, I mean, it just tells our story. In any belief, any picture of the alcoholic which leaves out this physical factor is incomplete. It is so true. We have to be sharing this part. Again, I was in OA for 6 years. I had a sponsor. I did the OA 12 and 12 workbook over and over again. I was still in the food. I was still eating because I didn't understand. And I'm so grateful for Vision and the recovered sponsor who took me through this big book. I'm so grateful for, like, you know, the podcast on entire abstinence and things like that, that helped me understand this physical factor. Because without that, I couldn't recover. It's incomplete without it. And, you know, I often come across people that say, well, I just want to work the steps. I don't want to talk about the food. That's fine, and that may work for some people, but if you're a real compulsive eater with me, anything that leaves out this physical factor will be incomplete, right? It would be crazy for an alcoholic in AA to say, well, I just want to work the steps, but I don't want to tell you whether I'm drinking or not. You know, we can't leave this out. We can't leave out this physical factor. The big book starts with this for a reason. So I'm just so grateful to the woman who broke this down for me. I'm so grateful for Vision for just breaking this down for me and helping me understand this. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, y'all.
Well, and thank you, Heather W., Leslie M., followed by Liz T. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Mo H. Thank you so much for your service. This is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And I would also like to talk about that same thing. But we are sure that our bodies were sickened and well. In our belief, any picture of the alcoholic, which leaves out this physical factor, is incomplete. And to me, this screams entire abstinence. I have to know, I have to learn the things that you know, are my alcoholic foods, and I have to make sure I stay away from them 100%. I can't have just a little bit of any of those foods, because if I do, then my body is going to react to it and the cravings will start. And I didn't understand that. And I've been around in OA for 30 years. So I had an incomplete message for almost that entire time. So I'm so grateful to know that today that, you know, although it's a spiritual malady that requires a spiritual solution, it requires my footwork, and part of my footwork is that entire abstinence, making sure that all the ingredients that I, you know, that I'm allergic to are not in my food plan, whatever that takes, whether it means going when I go to a restaurant, if that should ever happen again, that I ask, you know, what's in this? Is there any, you know, for me, you know, and also, you know, I've just come to the fact that I need to look things up online, you know, some items that I used to buy all the time. I'm like, oh, I wonder what's in that. And I take the time now to make sure that I'm not getting any of those ingredients that are going to, you know, set up that craving and send me back, you know, and, you know, very protective of it because it's part of it. You know, for me, mental obsession is the greater aspect. But that this physical aspect is something that cannot be overlooked. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Leslie M. Liz T., followed by Barbara E. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Liz T., recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. And I'm just kind of zoning in on the line there about it did not satisfy us to be told that we could not control our drinking just because we were maladjusted to life, that we were in full flight from reality or were outright mental defectives. And I remember reading that for the first time and kind of being a little offended, you know, like outright mental defective. You know, geez, that's a little harsh. But when I worked the program a little longer and relapsed a few more times, I realized, I'm insane with food. You know, what I do with food is insane. It's not normal. Even though I wanted to be able to justify it as normal and, you know, think that that's how other people ate, because I couldn't differentiate the true from the false. My alcoholic life became my only normal one. And so I went to a eating disorder clinic here in Minnesota, and they diagnosed me with binge eating disorder, but they didn't believe in entire abstinence, and they did not believe in the 12 steps. They believed in something else, mindful eating or something like that, and I didn't get very far with them, but what I wanted was an antidepressant because I thought, well, this must be like an obsessive compulsive disorder. You know, I wanted to diagnose myself. I wanted to apply psychiatry to my spiritual malady. And we learn in this chapter that that is one of the things that was beyond human aid, right? That our scientific approach to things, we were not well equipped, as Dr. Silkworth talked about or talks about coming up. And so I continue to struggle in my compulsive overeating because I wanted to apply science to my spiritual malady. And I'm just grateful to be here today to find this group and have this book cracked open and finally take my head knowledge to my heart. That these steps have to be taken in my heart. Entire abstinence has been mentioned, and then working the 12 steps when we're free from the allergy. Just super grateful for that today, that I gave up on trying to fight my physical malady my spiritual malady with a physical or a chemical solution. I've given up on that. So I'm grateful for that and that surrender. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Liz T. Barbara E., followed by Donna B. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. Can I be heard? I'm always muting myself and unmuting myself.
You are live.
I am live. I am alive, thank God. I know I always say I look in the obituaries, and if I'm not there, I go down and have my cup of coffee.
Yeah,
so I am alive today. And it's interesting for me, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Is it the physical malady, Barbara, or is it the mental illness? I was born a compulsive overeater. I had no trauma in my life, but I remember watching, and this is going to date me, Captain Video, I Remember Mama, the Howdy Doody show, and going back and forth to the dining room where there was a silver bucket filled with pretzels. And I don't even like pretzels, but I ate them and ate them and ate them. Like a goldfish, I couldn't stop eating them until I'd explode. And I'd climb up on the counter in the kitchen and go for the yucky, really disgusting cookies that my mother, bless her soul, had no taste in. But I ate them and ate them. And she'd say, "Where'd they all go?" And I'd say, "I don't know." And I was an only child. Of course it was me. But as I grew older, the other components started to fit in. And I did see that there were things that I went to for that 9 seconds of yum. Sweet things, salty things, spicy things. Never did I rush for a stalk of celery. So when I was coming home from work and I knew I was going to have to change masks and be a moderator between my two children who are 11 months apart, and a cook, and a mother, I said, I need that something, that pick-me-up that will give me the strength to do it. So I started to develop habits that led me down the wrong road. And somewhere along the line, my filler-upper never worked. It was broken from the time I was born. So I never got full. And once I started, I couldn't stop. And yes, I could lose all the weight, but I'd immediately gain it back again because I couldn't stop from starting. So I've lost weight 9 times in OA, not in OA, in Weight Watchers, Diet Center, all those things you may have tried. And it was over 100 pounds each time, but I always gave it back, gained it back over and over. And I came into OA desperate, really desperate, the last house on the block, as they say. And I said, I'll do anything. I raised the white flag of surrender. Please help me. I stayed for the miracle. I stayed after the miracle. And I'm here to tell you, who cares? Physical, mental, it works.
Time.
Thank you. Pass.
Oh, thank you, Barbara. Donna B., followed by Jody E. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. What jumps out to me is that In this statement, he confirms what we who have suffered alcoholic torture must believe. Those words, suffered and torture, are very descriptive and strong words. Later in the chapter and throughout the book, we learn about the classification of the real compulsive overeater versus the moderate eater and the heavy eater. And these words like suffered and torture resonate so true and complete for me as a real compulsive overeater. So I especially reach out to the newcomers on the line and for those of us who've been around for a long time and are still experiencing suffering and torture. And the suffering and the torture, like the allergy of the body, in my experience, are also in my body. It's a physical experience of just being in so much pain. When I gave up volume eating, there were months that I felt like I was dying. Between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m., I had that desire to volume eat, to just fill myself up, even if it was with quote-unquote abstinent foods, just to stuff myself. And when I gave it up, I felt like I was dying. It was painful. It was torture. And I had to rely on a power greater than myself and on my fellows. It was months of prayer and connection, prayer and connection. So I really encourage those who are suffering from the torture of compulsive overeating to put the food down and not to be in the illusion that it's going to feel great and wonderful immediately. There is also suffering and torture and the giving up, but there is so much hope on the other side. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. And before we go to Jody E., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page XXVI, that's page 26 of the doctor's opinion, and we're on the second paragraph, the physician who. And after Jody, I will take more names. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Mo. This is Jody E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic in California. Thanks for your service. It's nice to hear you, Mo. And everyone, thank you everyone for your service who's shared so far today. It's really beautiful to hear you all and your recovery, and I'm grateful and inspired. I too was a child who had this allergy of the body, and there were times when I would eat flour especially and sugar and the combinations of those that I could not stop eating them, but mostly I just ate them on a regular basis. I became a baker. That was my favorite hobby, was to bake. And my story goes on from there. But once I got into OA at the age of 29, no one in my local area was advocating abstinence from alcoholic foods, even though at that time in 1988, the Big Book and the AA 12 and 12 were the literature that we used. The OA 12 and 12 had not yet been written. And despite reading the Big Book, there was no, even when I questioned and asked my sponsor, shouldn't we be abstaining from certain foods like an alcoholic abstains from alcohol? No. And why is that? Why is that still questioned in OA? I think because it's so very difficult, as was mentioned previously, it's very difficult to give up these alcoholic foods at first. We go through, these are our favorite foods. These are the foods that we are living for. We are living to eat rather than eating to live. But we can turn that around, as has been mentioned and demonstrated here today, through abstinence and working the 12 steps. and using the tools that we have in OA. We have each other. We can pick up the phone and call each other, and it's an amazing magic that happens when we do that. We want to eat compulsively. We pick up the phone maybe once, twice, three times, and that craving disappears. That is the beauty. That is the magic of this connection that we have with one another as fellow compulsive overeaters. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Jody E. Let me remind people where we are. We're on page XXVI, the second paragraph. The physician who, I can't see my reading here. Anyway, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And I will now take more names, so people who'd like to share.
Shanna
Sherry
C.
Josie.
I have
Mary
Josie.
A.B.
Mary A.B. I heard somebody
Leslie
else in
W.
there too.
Shanna
Leslie.
C.
That was it, Shanna C.
Laureen W.
Laureen?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Leslie W.
There was also a Sherry Josie that spoke up.
I got Sherry Josie first, Mary A. B., Leslie W., Shanna, I didn't get you last, Shanna C., Laureen W., and one more.
Nicole C., California.
Nicole C. Okay, we'll stop there. Okay, I have Sherry Josie, Mary A. B., Leslie W., Shanna C., Laureen W., and Nicole C. All right, Sherry Josie, good morning. Press star one. Sherry, can't hear you.
All right. I don't know how that happened. Thank you, Mo. Thank you so much.
Sherry
Josie in Southern California. Grateful to be here this morning. Thank you, everyone, for the meeting. So I am looking at my big book, which I've had since I started in OA in 1989, and I have almost this entire paragraph underlined. And I made notes. I can see I made notes throughout the years, 88. 89, 90, 91, 92. But the part that I underlined triple times is the alcoholic torture. And, you know, for me, it's funny. I was with a group of friends. Some of the friends do Weight Watchers, and as far as I can tell, it works just fine for them. As far as I can tell, it seems to be just fine for them. And as they were talking about it, I just thought to myself, that sounds like absolute torture. Because to me, it's like, you know, you can't live with it, you can't live without it, the back and forth, the struggle. And I, you know, that's exactly what went on for me from the time that I started compulsively eating, which was, you know, since I was a child. And, you know, I liken it to, like, the vampire books. I mean, I have to say, I did give in and read a couple of the vampire books, and I think his name is Edward. You know, he's a vampire. He wants to bite people. And, you know, his whole life is torture because he's trying to not bite the person that he loves. And this is a silly example, but that's how I felt. I would sit at a table of food, everybody else acting normally, and I couldn't even hear what other people were saying because my eyes were locked on what I wanted to have. But actually, I probably wouldn't have eaten it there because that wasn't my perfect sweet spot. My perfect sweet spot would be in a room entirely by myself where I could eat the way I really wanted to with total abandon. And so for me, you know, the whole idea of eating against my own will, that was when I became willing to come into recovery because I realized I wanted to stop and I couldn't. You know, this whole idea of the mental obsession and the physical allergy, for me, it's kind of like you got somebody in the emergency room that gets wheeled in on a gurney and they're dying and they've been shot with a bullet and stabbed with a knife. Well, what do you fix first? You fix them both. You fix them both because otherwise, they're going to die of loss of blood in one way or another. And so for me, I have to address both of them. And, you know, I am eternally grateful. I've talked about it before, but when I came into OA in Detroit, Michigan in 1989, I found a meeting called the Back to Basics Abstinence Meeting. And I'll say women because it was mostly women except for our token male who was a wonderful, wonderful member of our meeting. Those women slam dunked me. And they said, compulsive eating is the siren song of the disease. And if you do not put down your binge foods, you're never going to get the rest of this. And I am so, so grateful because my eating behavior was like a wrecking ball in my life. I don't know why you bother decorating the living room when the wrecking ball is tearing it down every single day. And that's what my eating disorder was like for me. So I'm so grateful to be here with all of you and really super grateful this paragraph and this whole section. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry Josie. Mary A.B., followed by Leslie W. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mo. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, great. Thank you, and thank you so much for your service, Mo, and it's wonderful to be on this meeting this morning. It's not about the food, and it's not about the weight. How many times did I hear that phrase in meetings? And my little bogglehead just went up and down, up and down. That's right. That's right. It's not about the food and it's not about the weight. This is a spiritual program. And that's what it's about. Well, I've often said that I grew up in this program, and I did. And as I matured, I came to realize that it's not about the food as long as I'm abstinent. And it's not about the weight. As long as I'm either at my goal or on my way, if I have the weight to lose. Otherwise, if I'm in the food is my higher power. It is totally in charge. It takes me over physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. There's no room for anything else. I am totally obsessed and occupied. And I came to realize that. And when I was in the food, people who would try to help me, and these things may have helped other people, they would say, Mary, if you're eating, there's a tool you're not working or a step you're not working. So I pick up a tool or I pick up a step, and I came to find that I could not tool myself abstinent. I could not step my way abstinent. There's a reason why it's the first half of step one. It was up to me. My higher power couldn't take the food out of my mouth, never put it in, wasn't going to take it out. I had to put that food down. I had to take that first step. I had to stop looking for something or someone to rescue me, that it was up to me to put that food down. And then if I'm going to keep it down, I darn well better reach out and get the help that I need from my people who led me to my higher power. My people who led me to this meeting, well, I too have studied the big book over the years many, many times. Until I totally accepted this chapter that we're on right now, this chapter to the alcoholic, and I think a lot of the study meetings I went to skipped that chapter and started with how it works. I had to accept this thing about alcoholics was true for me.
Fine.
Totally accept it. Thank you, Mo. Thank you for the opportunity to share. God bless.
Thank you, Mary A.B. Leslie W., followed by Shanna C. Leslie, good morning.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for leading the meeting this morning. This is Leslie W., recovered in Tennessee. I look at this paragraph, and I'm glad to be on this morning to share what this paragraph means to me. I was never told that I was an outright mental defective or in full flight from reality. for me, you know, with the food, it was more of a attitude of, well, Leslie, why don't you have, why don't you just push the plate away? Or why don't you just take small bites? Why don't you just eat a little bit? Just a little bit. Where's your self-control? Where's your willpower? You know, that willpower thing was what really put so much shame over this disease for me. And, you know, my very first sponsor ever in the program told me the very first time that we sat down, it's about the food until it's not about the food. I think I can remember her talking to me about the steps, and I thought, or, you know, higher power and the spiritual component of this program, and I could not understand why she was talking to me about that stuff. I mean, let's just get the food plan together, and let's just figure out how I can control my way out of this deal. And I will never forget her saying, it is about the food until it's not. And I think that for all of us who come in here, especially for me, when I first came in here, I really couldn't focus on anything else. I didn't have the clarity to be able to focus on anything else until I got my food in order. And it's been a journey for me, learning what abstinence really is, what it really means has been a journey. And I continue to learn. I continue to grow. And this meeting has really, really, really and truly been paramount for me in terms of learning about my disease and the allergy of the body.
Time.
Before, and that's it. Thanks, Mo.
Yeah. Thank you, Leslie W. Shanna C., followed by Laureen W. Good morning, Shanna.
Good morning. This is Shanna, grateful recovered compulsive eater in Tennessee as well. In this statement, he confirms we who have suffered alcoholic torture must believe that the body of the alcoholic is quite as abnormal as his mind. And it talks about the physical allergy, like so many others have shared. I didn't understand that there was a physical component, because what I would do is I would compare myself to everybody else. It seemed like everybody around me, you know, you'd see it all over the TV. You'd see it, you know, whatever. Everybody was either overweight or ate too much or whatever. And then, you know, I would admire the people that would lose the weight, or, and I would admire the people who seem to just kind of eat and then leave food sitting on the plate. Like, how do you do that? For them, it was nothing. They don't think about it. They're busy paying attention to whatever else is going around them, and they eat, and then they automatically stop when they're full or whatever. And I'm like, but I'm eyeballing their food, you know, why are you not eating that? Shouldn't you at least save that for later? Blah, 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 whatever. And like so many others have shared, I was a compulsive eater as a child too. You know, why can't I just stop, you know, and then the shame and the guilt and the remorse and all of that. Fast forward to this past fall, and I had been in and out of OA, tried different sponsors with different ideas of what abstinence looked like, yada, yada, you know, the mindful eating, the no abstaining from sugar and flour, and then the food plan, and then this and that. But bottom line for me was I had to go through all of that in order to get to the point where I realized I literally had no power, whether it's a physical thing, whether it's a mental thing, whether it's a spiritual thing. I had no power to stop hurting myself with food, and I had to see that. I had tried all different kinds of methods in this past fall. And this is after being sober in another recovery program for nearly 12 years, had established, worked the steps, a big book, could quote the big book, could do sponsoring people, had miracles happen in my life. But for some reason, I couldn't, the food was just killing me. And And it, looking back, I realized I had a lurking notion that I was different. I wasn't really a compulsive eater, you know. But the bottom line is I got to the point in on September 29th of 2019 that I was absolutely out of ideas and I needed help. I could not stop. I was dying. I was miserable in recovery. And I was terrified. I got on A Vision for You. A woman was sharing her story, a special edition. And I called her afterward and begged her for help. And I was willing to go to anything, any length. Food plan, no food plan, right or wrong, didn't matter anymore. I was done. I had to concede to my innermost self that I was this. I was a compulsive eater, and I had no power. And it's been miraculous ever since. The obsession's been lifted, of staying in the steps, sponsoring people, carrying this message, and sharing hope. I mean, thank you, God, for this program. That's all I got.
Well, thank you, Shanna C., and we have about 4 minutes left. So, Laureen W. and Nicole C., I'm going to give you 2 minutes each. Thank you. So, Laureen W., please
thank share. You. This is Laureen W., compulsive overeater. And thank you so much, Mo and Team Thursday. This doctor's opinion, anytime I feel as though I'm not understanding what's going on with me, I read the doctor's opinion. I've had many sponsees in program, and any time they falter or feel that they've eaten something they shouldn't or not in the right place, I tell them to read the doctor's opinion. For me, it explains the disease to a T. When I came in 1992 and weighing 300 pounds, I said to my husband, I can't keep yo-yoing these diets. They make me feel like such a failure. This is my last hope, is OA, my last hope. And thank you, God, I've been down over 100 pounds for almost 28 years. I did have 2 relapses in program, but came right back to the program. I came to the meetings consistently. The doctor's opinion tells me exactly what's wrong with me. I had this black hole inside of me, and I thought I needed to feed it with food. I really did. Until I realized in program it was God. It was my spirituality that was lacking. That black hole was my soul. And I didn't turn to God when I needed to. And I really appreciate and am so grateful for OA, for giving me the life I thought I would never have, to giving me the level of honesty that I have about my food and who I am. And today I am so grateful. And grateful to all of you who have been sharing today, because I can relate so much to every one of your stories, and I pass.
And thank you, Laureen W. and Nicole C. You'll be our final share. Thank you, Nicole.
Hi, this is Nicole. Can I be heard? Okay, is the sound quality okay?
Yes, it's good.
Okay, thank you. My name is Nicole C. I am in Northern California in Morgan Hill. And I'm a compulsive eater. And if you are on this line and you are struggling, whether you've had time or not had time, I want to tell you there is hope and there is a way out. I have struggled so long for this, and I have finally got myself into a place where I feel that I can have permanent recovery. And there is hope. I have been through different branches of OA, and it was not until I found this group with going through the book, taking the steps into our life, practicing the principles, knowing the history of our fellowship, understanding that this is tried and tested, and the AA Comes of Age history shows us what works and what doesn't work. And if we do not take these steps into our life, it is not going to work. And I am living, breathing proof of that, because my last relapse was horrific. It was horrific. It was a brand new bottom for me. This is a progressive illness. I first entered into the rooms of OA about 4 years ago, and a few weeks ago I came back. And let me tell you, I promise you, this is progressive. If we do not put down the foods that trigger our allergy, we do not have a shot, period. I must believe that my body as a compulsive eater is as quite as abnormal as my mind. It is absolutely 100% true. I cannot eat certain foods with impunity. And if I cannot accept that, I will keep chasing this through the gates of insanity and death. It's a miserable experience. We don't have to live like that anymore. We can use these steps. We can find a way out. We can stop triggering the allergy. We can work on the steps to solve the obsession of the mind, and we can stay. Thank you for having me. I love all of you.
Ah, perfect timing. Thank you, Nicole C., and I want to thank all those who shared on our meeting this morning and for all those who gave service for the month of July. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Margaret D. please read A Vision for You? Margaret, can't hear you. Press star one.
Good morning. This is Margaret D., recovered compulsive eater in Georgia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.